Dude, I don't even like those movies when they make black and white people get along, man. Even those ones seem ridiculous, you know? Because there always has to be, like, some sort of lesson in those movies. Just like, you know, I never looked at it that way. And it's like, that never happens, you know? Anytime I've ever hung out with a black dude, at no point during the evening has he, like, tried to, like, teach me how to dance, you know? You know that interracial Footloose moment they always have to have in those movies? And I never go to his neighborhood and, like, try to, like, save a school, you know? How many times are they gonna make that movie? You know that movie? The white person goes into the projects. They just have to make a difference. You know, they just made that movie again with, what was it, Hilary Swank? It's like, did you even need to go see it? It's like, let me guess, she shows up and they don't accept her, right? And she goes home, she cries to her effeminate boyfriend who's wearing sweatpants and he's cooking something for some reason, right? And he convinces her to give it one more chance, right? So then she goes back down there, she starts drawing out their inner beauty, next thing you know, they put a do-rag on her, she starts fucking dancing, and it's just embarrassing for all races involved. For the love of God, stop making that fucking movie! Dude, the amount of times they made that movie, I would think I would know somebody white who actually did that shit, you know? Just be like, ah, that's Mike, yeah, he saves ghettos. That's what he does, you know? I sit around, I watch SportsCenter, you know, he's in the projects every weekend. He's writing his name on the blackboard. My name's Mr. Michael. All right, who threw that? Who threw that? It's just annoying after a while, you know? And it always fucking works out, too. Anytime the white person goes down there, I want to see a movie where it doesn't work out. Like the white dude goes down there the first day, just gets the shit kicked out of him, you know? Just leaving all negative. You can't fucking help these people, you know? Go down there, trying to do something nice. I couldn't get a goddamn word in. This is a $300 prescription.
We're gathered here today, the last podcast of the year. So I'd like to start off by saying, what up, what up, what up? We got a full house today. We got yours truly here, Caesar, followed up by Mr. Darnell himself.
What's up? What's up?
We have Mr. Marcus. Not the porn star.
You don't know what I do on my weekends.
We got the super duper stash.
All right.
We got Shanlok.
What up, dude?
We got the extra creative Seth.
Yo, I'm channeling my old Asian man for this podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm getting into my old Asian man.
Yeah, sorry right now.
I like
so,
that.
Yeah, we need to hear some
wisdom. Okay, you right. Say, okay. Go to the next one.
He's like, Mr. Miyagi. Like,
yeah, old Asian some wisdom, man.
Yeah, he does. Just let him do it. See how ridiculous he sounds.
Okay.
And we have new to the table for the first time.
And last.
Dang! I didn't hear what he said.
Shots fired. We have Wayne here today.
Howdy.
Young Wayne.
Sounds John
like,
Wayne.
Sounds like you're double, yep, sound like you double gripping.
First name, no Bruce. Middle name, Just. Last name, Wayne.
So, if you've been listening to the podcast, you will notice that we haven't put out a couple podcasts in maybe a week or two. We are back to give you the best one of the year. Starting off topics, I'd like to talk about Ronda Rousey.
Woo!
Woo! What do you mean, young shin neck? Shin right to the neck.
She got one of them Lil Wayne drops.
I can't feel my face.
You know what? That was so crazy. It's just like no one knows that sport. It's such a new thing. Like right. Ronda Rousey, yeah. You didn't expect somebody to be
what's
way better than Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. What's the sport?
Women's MMA. Mm-hmm.
It's not so much she was way better. It's she's trained differently. Yeah. If it came down to grappling.
That's the problem.
She Ronda would have had her hands down.
But the thing is, Ronda don't know
how to. She knocked out. But Ronda don't know how to fight.
She knocked out two people.
That's why she got. That's why she got messed up.
If they don't know how to fight, and you just know how to throw good haymakers, that don't make you a great fighter.
It just makes you better than them.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
But can we also talk about the fact that the old girl was training like classic boxing?
Yeah.
See how close her feet were?
So she was throwing them hands.
She was literally solid footwork.
Yeah. Her footwork was solid.
She went out there straight, like a straight boxer. Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to say that Floyd Mayweather would give her the fucking business.
There's no question now.
That's just been proven. That's been proven by that fight.
That discussion that they had makes no sense.
Yo, she had the meanest left straight, though. That Holly Holmes? Yeah. Her left straight was unreal.
That jab was dumb.
It was unreal, man.
But, like, I mean, in all seriousness, when's the last time you seen somebody get beat like that?
Anytime Rampage.
Someone that. Somebody that big, though. Yeah. Yes.
To just get whipped.
Right. Brock Lesnar? Kimbo Slice?
Yeah.
I can name a couple of them. Kimbo Slice got that fucking work.
Yeah.
So, what about the conspiracy theory?
I mean, somebody with the biggest name that's run around.
Kimbo Slice!
Like Tyson and Buster Douglas.
He had a name in the street fighting, not in UFC. He's never been good in, like, mixed martial arts.
Brock Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar.
Got his ass whooped his first fight.
Yeah, came last ass whooped him. Yeah. But that's kind of different because he wasn't skilled. He's just big and strong, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was like someone's bound to beat Brock Lesnar.
Tito Ortiz.
Got
his ass whooped too.
Yeah.
That big ass head was rumbling all over the mat.
Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz.
Whoop that ass.
Yeah.
Like when I proposed that question, I didn't realize there were gonna be so many real things. I was setting the tee up. That the last time somebody got beat like that was Clubber Lang beating
Rocky.
Beating Rocky, yeah. But that's just gone to hell now, so.
Hey, Shaw. Stash was about to say something about a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, so the big conspiracy is that Rousey's gonna go film this movie now so that she took the dive just because she's gonna be off the show for a while.
Nah, she wouldn't have did
that. It's a conspiracy theory.
But they said she signed three contracts for movies or something.
Yeah, she's doing Roadhouse 2. And so then you give the rub to this other lady because you're going to be out of it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so, I mean, if you're going to take a dive, you don't want to take the chin check, though. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Especially if you're undefeated. So, like,
she got kicked. She was already dazed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you took a chin check. Like, that shit.
Yo, that first round is shit.
To really make it look like it's to
but get me in trouble. I would have went to my agent, like, look, I'll fall, but I don't need my jaw shattered.
Her lip got split up.
Lip got split, and she had to get surgery for her nose.
She probably had to get surgery for that ego.
Yeah.
But Dana White said they use plastic surgeons, so, like, they don't use doctors because they say doctors usually just seal the wound. Mm-hmm. Plastic surgeon makes it look good. So they want to make her lip not look like
that. Yeah, face is worth some money.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, face got a bounty on it.
Now. What up, though? We have special guests in the building.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Recurring guest, Stilts.
I didn't know we could have just broke in. I did that.
You just walk in the crib. One never texted you. I just opened the door.
Yeah, I'm like,
walked in.
I got my credit cards.
You know what I'm saying?
I can get in there, bro. Quick.
It's all right. You keep those skills.
It's all been practicing.
What?
When you grow where I grew up. Also again. Wayne. You Wayne.
So what's up?
So your opinion on the Ronda Rousey situation?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, really? We're just right in. don't judge me. I don't actually really care about.
Yeah, same here.
I don't judge you. It's just not my thing.
You gotta ask her something about football. She knows anything about football.
There we go.
We should ask the Rousey question.
What's going on with them Seahawks?
What's going on with Sierra then? That's what you really want to know. Russell ain't getting nothing. He ain't balling like you should. We saw it with Tony Parker in the playoffs.
Ooh. Whoa. Oh.
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 Yeah, man.
That's my guy.
Man, look, Tony Parker is the old school cat. You know what I mean? He never learned how to do anything but the Euro step and the three, man. That ball pass is ridiculous, too. But his, you want points? Euro step.
All with the squad ever.
They're so fundamental, though.
Yeah, and it works. It still works. So that's how you know the basics will always work no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that you know Greg Popovich has been pumping them full of something. They got a special juice, B. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a couple questions.
That's like an egoless team, though. You know, everyone's just like.
Greg Popovich got an ego.
That's the only guy that's there. He's the coach. He ain't on the court with everybody.
Yeah. He is on the court. What the fuck you doing, Tim?
I mean, like... Yeah, they're just all about winning. They don't care about who scores more points, you know.
Right about that. Definitely right about that.
All right, you guys been following any of the presidential candidates at all?
All day, every day.
All right, so, looks like Sefton. How about you, Sasha?
Yeah, I've been following it.
Dornoff?
Slightly.
Slightly?
Nah, I didn't watch any of the debates or anything.
So YouTube, anything? Like,
I YouTube a little bit of stuff. But
how about you, Wayne?
No, excited.
Nothing?
Just slight, but like, no, I ain't paid that much attention.
Stilts?
Slightly.
Yeah.
Oh, me? Oh, yeah. God. Look, first and foremost. I work 16 hours a day, bro. I don't get cable. All I know is if Donald ever comes close, I already got land in Mexico. I'm making a personal call to El Chapo, man. I gotta work something. Because it's going down. Although he knows I don't work money, though.
Well, speaking of Donald Trump, he made a statement.
When does he not?
He makes a lot of statements. Yeah, it's crazy.
Statement machine.
One of his most famous statements is, "Let's make America great again."
Well, I thought it was your fire.
this is we're talking about his
presidential situation.
Yes, yes.
All right, go ahead.
So, what do you think he means by that?
Let's make America better again.
Yeah.
It goes towards everything he's doing right now. Is he's doing what every good businessman does. Well, not every good businessman. He's doing what every businessman in traditional capitalistic sense does. It looks for the loopholes and looks for the exploits. And you can exploit. I love this. This is the Bill Clinton. Right there. When you're talking to people, you go, let them know that you care. And you squint your eyes a little bit. Right. You go, Wayne, I care about you.
I actually believe it, even though I know you.
I think I'm in a book for him.
You matter. So, like, making America great again, he's just tapping into the anger that people have that things aren't going their way, whether it has to do with whatever the president does, because people really forget that it's a 3-tier system of government. The president himself is not going to be able to do anything that's going to directly change your life in the time he's done in office by himself.
Absolutely.
You know, so he's only one branch of government. So you tap into the anger people have about where the country's going, whether it's founded or not. You say a statement like that, you can get a lot of people behind you without even trying.
Well, see, the problem with that, though, is, like, historically proven, like, we've had at least two different presidents that have won strictly off popularity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had one that was an actor prior to that. I mean, like,
So
that's the problem, man. It's like, now he's good with money, we all know. He's good with business, what you call it?
You can't file bankruptcy for America.
Well, no, that's my thing with people.
How much of a file of Chapter 11?
Well, no, see, that's what I'm saying. Okay, compared to everybody else who's running.
One thing,
financially speaking, but the man is all right.
But he's,
I got you. But
that,
if I would have got, I forget how much it was he got from his parents. It was
$1 million.
A small loan of $1 million. Like, I think there was a show that was talking about this.
Right.
And make sure you vet this before you call this gospel. But there was a show that was talking about if he would have just put that money in some shrewd investments that his parents got him, he would be way richer than he is now. Like, he lost most of that money given inflation and all the stuff that he's done. And if he would have invested it wisely, he would have way more money than he has right now if he would have just, instead of going on with business ventures and stuff he did.
Well, see, you could also say the same thing about Steve Jobs. I was reading an article about this. Steve Jobs died, and he was worth about, like, $70 billion, when in actuality, he should have been worth about $700 billion.
Mm-hmm.
just off the investments and off this, yeah, he was the man.
No, I get you.
Would have been worth an outlandish amount of money, but also it comes down to the same phrase: scary money doesn't make money. His businesses are worth a crazy amount of money.
I definitely
doesn't always
get you.
Mean that you have the physical asset.
I definitely get you, but the reason why I brought that up is you can't say that.
I feel like you said $700 billion.
I did say $700 billion.
I feel like
it's not. Yeah, I'm not bad. I take it back. Do not use that as gospel. I feel like we can say that.
You
right?
Need to
we
be vetted right now.
Look it up. Google it. Ask Siri.
I said that to say, like, but he's not a self-made man. Like,
oh, well, right.
He totes that to say that. But the reason why I say that is to put that out. I'm not going to say that's wrong, that's right or wrong, because a lot of people running for president in history have not been self-made men. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can't knock that. But the thing that I do want to say about Donald Trump, is that if he is a nominee for president, if he ends up being president,
I'm moving to Canada.
It would be. I mean, like you said, Ronald Reagan was an actor, but he was also governor before he was president. Like,
right.
Donald Trump has no governmental experience. Ben Carson has no governmental experience.
He's I don't like Ben Carson. Don't say his name. He's a terrible person.
Ben Carson.
But then again, like you said, it's a three-tier situation. So one-third of the government doesn't have great experience, but the other two-thirds does.
No, I can't roll with that, because what you're telling me.
I don't say he's good. He's not my option.
What you're telling me is I should be okay with a form of government that is subpar to the other ones based on experience.
We've been living like that for years.
I got you, but you're telling me to accept that from the jump. Like, I'm not just going to accept a guy who I'm not going to go vote for, or I'm going to advocate for people to vote for someone who is really good, a really good spokesperson, a really good salesman. That's what he is. He's probably one of the best salesmen we've ever seen in the public sphere. But governmental experience? Nah, man, I can't vote for anybody. I can't be behind anyone who has no government experience whatsoever and wants to run for the highest position in government. He wants to be in the highest position in government.
You know what it was. He saw Arnold and the way Arnold That's got that exactly shit done.
Yep.
He saw Arnold and he was... I mean, but the thing about it, though, is Arnold
Nobody
was actually...
Nobody knows what Arnold was saying, though. And
he
still got in.
He did, too. This is fantastic.
He got by all the celebrities.
This is fantastic.
He was a good salesman.
The only thing is, if you look at the statistics as far as, like, while he was in office, Arnold was fantastic for that thing while he was in office.
How
about
that? He was a non-verbal good salesman. Non-verbal. Nobody understood what he was saying.
She was employed.
He didn't need to. He didn't need to.
He was a job.
You know what I'm saying? You got to look at the bright side.
From the jump, when Arnold said he was running, he had everyone who liked Arnold Schwarzenegger behind him before he said the word.
Right. And Hulk.
Like, you know what? I don't care who the other boring white dude is who's running for president.
Nigga got Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Get your fucks off.
I'll go for him. Like, he's got a before he even said anything.
That predator.
I want the governor to have guns. That's what I want.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
He's so like, cool. Terminate all this.
Exactly.
The moment Donald said he's running for president, he's got the people who want Donald.
Yeah, exactly.
At the same time, when Arnold Schwarzenegger was running for governor, wasn't he also going against Gary Coleman?
Yeah, he was. In the recall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yep. See? So. Well, I mean...
What you talking about, Willis?
I get you, but running for governor, running for president are two different things. Like,
well, yeah.
Just like I said, Reagan ran for governor, he got governor, and then he moved on to president. I cannot accept a candidate who has no governmental experience running for president of the United States. You have to be able to know how to get something done within government, especially with the Congress and the Senate we have right now, especially with the Congress we have right now. If you don't know how those systems work and you try to pass a bill... You're done. It's a wrap. You're not going to do anything as president. You're not going to get anything done. Like, you're going to get nothing done. Barack Obama, no matter what you want to say about him, his politics or anything, he's been one of the most successful presidents in terms of getting through meaningful legislation that we've had in the last 20, 30 years since the New Deal. Like, healthcare reform, come on now. No one's been able to do anything that big since Social Security.
You know what? I always hear people complaining about that, too. The fact that now they think they're paying too much for healthcare, but you didn't have it 2 years ago.
That's a whole nother debate, but I'm just saying, in terms of getting legislation done, he was a senator before that. He didn't spend too long as a senator, but at least he went through, he made the connections that you need to be able to work in government at some form.
So you're saying in order to run for president or anybody, any position of a higher standard of that sort, you need to be able to pay your dues in some areas.
I'm saying at least for president. Like, you can run for state senate and you've done some stuff, you know, in between there. Because Barack Obama didn't have any government experience before he ran for senate. He had community organization stuff, you know, things like that, law, stuff like that, which is a bonus, but running for president of the United States, you want to be the leader of the government and you have no governmental experience? That's like me saying I want to go be the top surgeon in the world like Ben Carson without ever cutting nobody open. You know, they want to hire me for the job.
Honestly, this is just really a real ignorant question. Like, as in, I know no knowledge. Yeah. What the fuck does Ben Carson do?
he's a storyteller.
Like, he's an amazing neurosurgeon.
Shut up,
like,
stop, man.
He separated Chinese twins from the brain.
I mean, I heard that story, but I'm saying, like, besides that, like, what am I?
Yeah, that's what he's a
who's
surgeon.
Who's voucher for him?
He's voucher for world's foremost brain surgeon.
Who's voucher for him? He's
one of the world's foremost brain surgeons.
Please tell me. That's part of one of my questions. Is anybody following Ben Carson at all?
Yes. And he's pissing me off.
Okay.
Pissing me off so much.
Tell me what's one of your most favorite Ben Carson stories?
Bedtime story.
You mean like in terms of like stuff that's happened during the presidential campaign?
I got one.
Oh, you got one?
Yeah. When he said the guy at the, what was it, Popeye's Corporation? And he told him to go get the other guy.
All right, so those of you that haven't like done any research on Ben Carson, he's a black neurosurgeon. I'm not even
going to
give
him
credit for that.
You got to.
I got to.
No,
he came out of Detroit, too.
I got to.
You
got to
give him credit
for
all he is.
You
got to
give him credit.
I feel like we're being blamed for that.
That's a very hard thing to do. You got to give him credit for it.
Yeah, and he grew up in Detroit.
No, no.
That's one of the hardest...
I'm gonna get a people little recap of Ben Carson. So Ben Carson is sort of like that guy that in the clique that always got to lie about something.
Yes.
So you're just like, hey man, how you doing today? I'm good, man. Man, this dude tried to run up on me and rob me, and you're like, oh, Brad. Meanwhile, you run into the guy that tried to rob him, and he's just like, I only asked him if he had change for a dollar. Like, so. And Ben Carson, his stories are just so out of this world. It's just like, why do you have people voting for you right now? Why are we that naive?
They
asked him about one of the situations with a school being shot up. Mm-hmm. And he said, if I was there, I would have had them rush the gun in. He can't shoot all of us.
Yep.
And he like sort of like giggled and laughed about it. And it was just like, so have you ever been in a situation where, you know, you've been stuck, you know, been stuck up, you know, with a gun? He's like, yeah, I was at a Popeye's organization. And
he definitely called it a Popeye's organization. He used those exact words.
He was like, and a gentleman came in the door and he had a gun and he put it to my back. And I looked at him, I said, I don't think I'm the one you're looking for. You want the guy behind the register.
And then he walked away.
The reporter that's asking him was just like, so did he listen to you? Yeah, he listened to me. He went to the guy behind the register. I was just like, and you're running for president?
Wow. Right.
I think it was some late night show. I don't know if it was Jimmy Fallon or whatever. They did like a mock-up of how that would have looked on a security camera.
Yeah.
And they did the shot. That was so hilarious. He told the guy, like, that's not, you know, I'm not the one you're looking for. It's the one behind the counter. Right. Just go sit down and continue this meal. While he's getting held up. Like, I figure, hey, if that really happened, that's probably what it would look like. Like, Ben Carson, go back and eat this chicken. Also, he's getting held up.
Well, the crazy part is he has numerous stories where he's sitting there talking about, well, when I was younger, I got into this dispute with somebody, and I tried to stab him with a knife. So I ran at him with a knife, and they had this big belt buckle on. And I stabbed him, and it hit the belt buckle, and the knife broke. And
They.
I'm sorry, it's just he's something ridiculous. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, they basically tried to figure out who he was talking about. Like, so, who was this person? Yeah. You know, who can vouch for this story? Oh, it was, you know, somebody at school, and they interview so many people at school, and they're just like, yeah, something like that. We would have remembered that. You know, somebody getting stabbed. And they're just like, hold up, you're from Detroit? What, people with big old belt buckles? Like, that sounds like a Texas thing. Like,
it does. Sounds like a
so,
thing.
he ended up giving them fake names, and those people weren't even at the school. No. So they're just like, those names that you gave us, they don't add up. He was like, oh yeah, those weren't the real names. The actual real name of the person, I'm not going to tell you. It's actually a family member of mine.
Yeah.
So it's just like, hold up. Yep. So
it was
somebody at school. Then you gave out fake names. Now it's somebody in the family. So they go around asking family members. Nobody wants to vouch for it.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
And yet he's neck and neck with Donald Trump.
With the Donald.
Yeah.
He's just trying to show that he's qualified, that he can lie. Now he's trying to be a politician. It's like, I can lie just like everybody else.
Yeah. Not good at it either.
Yeah.
Not at all. Those were horrible lies. Like, right. Horrible.
Yeah, he told the one guy, he picked up a lock and punched somebody in the head with it and left, like, all types of gashes and lacerations. And they're just like, they interviewed, like, people he grew up with. They interviewed his family members. They're just like, no, Ben was a pretty outstanding kid. Like, he stayed out of trouble. He's really on top of his work.
I'm a neurosurgeon.
He went to school every day with his briefcase, his pocket protector, and his suit. He said he woke up every morning at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning studying. Why are you trying so hard to be a gangster?
But that's the thing. Like, and this is the only thing that I'm going to agree with Donald Trump on throughout this whole campaign.
You're building a wall, huh?
He gave... He made an excellent point about this, and it shaped the way that I thought about everything Ben Carson's doing. He said, why are you people voting for somebody? He said, you people. Why are you people voting for someone who's lying about being a thug? Like, I don't think those were his exact words, but that was what he was saying. He's like, why would you want to vote for someone who's lying about being violent? Like, who do you want this type of guy in the presidency? If he's telling the truth, you want this to be your president? And I was like, yo, Donald, like, I hate you, but strength.
Strength, though?
I was like, strength, man. Like, yeah, because I was thinking about it like, all right, yeah, this dude, he's, you know, he's just out there embarrassing himself. I was personally offended because I'm just like, yo, you are probably one of the great inspirational stories for any youth trying to come out of Detroit, becoming a neurosurgeon, and now you're tarnishing yourself, your reputation by going on national stage and lying about all this crap.
Yeah,
you
really
didn't even do.
Yeah.
And now your legacy, is going to be tarnished, you know, as being this basically this buffoon in the public eye.
Right. Buffoon, yes,
exactly.
Buffoon,
you know. And then he was like, "Well, now he's trying to lie to make him seem like he's more violent or tougher than he was and make the story seem even better that he turned his life around." But
you hear the rap song he did?
Yeah, the rap
radio. We can kill this here. But that was the thing.
Like, they played that. They played that. I think, like, I forget where they played it. They played it in an area and on a black radio station, and then on a pop radio station. They had like the no rap song version where he was just talking like regular. It was so weird. Like in the rap song, like he had this guy rapping, Ben Charles, whatever. Inspire. Revive. Ben Carson 2016. And support Ben Carson for our next president to be awesome. America became a great nation early on, not because it was flooded with politicians, but because it was flooded with people who understood the value of personal responsibility, hard work, creativity, innovation, and that's what will get us on the right track now.
And then Ben Carson's like talking to his rap. And then like on the other radio station, like he just popped. Ben Carson!
I'm Ben Carson, and I approve this message.
Persuasive, I don't know, but like, why even, okay, you're lying, but like, why even try to persuade people that, like, to be a gangster? You know what I mean? Never understood that, like, especially if you're targeting a specific race.
All my life I want to be a gangster.
You know what I mean? Whatever, you're gonna
park on the street.
Well, it sounds like he was trying to get a black vote and he disconnected from black people. Well, that's culture. And he was trying to go another angle, just like Hillary Clinton trying to find her little angle. Everyone finds their angle for whatever group that they don't necessarily have a connection with, and his happened to be bizarre and strange one. But that's the thing, I think he just didn't need that, just being from Detroit and black. That's point, that's exactly. When is someone going to run for president not trying to pander to a group?
Just saying, hey, man, this is who I am. I think
politicians are.
I think that's another reason why Donald Trump is so popular.
I think that's the big reason.
He's like, I don't care who you are. I'm going to talk the way I'm going to talk. I'm going to say the things I want to say, whether those things are idiotic or not.
Yeah, it's not authentic.
Exactly. And a lot of people, smart people I know are like, yeah, I vote for Donald. Just because
he's not politically correct.
He's not going with the bullcrap. Like, he's not spewing the bullcrap like every other politician.
Right.
Whether that bullcrap is sane or not, that's a whole
question.
It's kind of
sad, though, where it's like,
still moving to Mexico.
We're like, that's his angle, and people are like, I don't agree with what he's saying, but at least it's not full of shit.
Exactly.
Like, that's all it takes at this point.
Exactly. No. So when is the politician going to wise up, who actually has some clout behind him, and just say, you know what, this is me. You know, you either like what I'm going for, or you don't like
There's too many people behind each president, of anybody who's running. But in Donald Trump's case, he's the man.
He's right there, too. Yeah. That's honestly the key.
Gosh.
Yeah. Right.
Gosh.
Everybody else got to depend on other people's money and stuff. And
that's the key. That's definitely the key.
So they can't say certain things they really want to say.
He's showing us that he spent less than any other candidate.
Wow.
Any other candidate. Like, I don't think he's spent more than $5 million so far. Because he gets so
Hold on. Good for him.
But that's my thing. Like, you could, any one of the candidates who are running right now, probably with the exception of like Ben Carson, maybe some of the lower ones, but Hillary Clinton could definitely fund her own campaign in given the same budgetary constraints that Donald Trump's been under. Like, she wouldn't need to answer anyone because she Clinton's got dough like nobody's business.
I don't even know why she's running for president. She's been president for like 12 years. It's just like, give it a break, man. Like, you've been in off. You haven't left the White House.
Yeah.
Like, you have a permanent spot.
Yeah, she's been part. Yeah, right. She's been there. She's in there, like, somewhere. And they're like
That's a real phrase.
Yeah,
that's actually a real phrase.
Google it.
I'm not Googling.
I got another question.
No,
y'all ready for the next question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, why has immigration become a problem, and how does it directly affect you?
You know what?
Whose problem is it, though? Because I still got a lot of illegal immigrant family members. So, to me, it's really not a problem.
Like, he's like, define problem. Like,
my aunt is still mad legal, bro. Like,
so, to me, it's like...
So, it doesn't affect you in any way?
Honestly, like, my opinion on it, I'm not mad about it. Yeah. Only because, like, we've been seeing the posts about it all week. But that's what our country was built off of. We don't have papers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't.
That's right.
Unfortunately, fortunately, we were born here, so now we have Social Security, which is just another way for them to track us. But originally, none of us had papers. So now we're like, oh, well,
I like that. Like that angle.
You've got to go. Well, then so did the Johnsons down the corner. Then. If you want to say that, they all got to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's just fear mongering. Like, people are just
But the thing about it, though, is like they attack like the war on drugs. But if it wasn't a war on drugs, it would be a war on something else. We cannot be a civilized country.
Right, but it's not the drugs or the immigrants or whatever. It's
to utilize fear to move a different agenda, another agenda. Right. So they got everybody captive. Oh, the immigrants. Oh, Syrians. Oh, this, that, and third thing. Okay, mm-hmm. now you're going to do this because you're scared of this.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. Like, to me, it's not a big... I never saw it as a big deal. Like, I don't think we need to build the wall.
Right.
Because now you're cutting down the possibilities of us interacting with anybody else.
I just feel like maybe Donald Trump seen too many episodes of Game of Thrones.
You saw too many episodes of South Park, bro. Like, that's what happened.
They still get through that wall.
Yeah, well, no, but he's trying to form the Night's Watch. That's what he's trying to do.
What I'm saying is, like, any country that they've built a huge wall to separate from another part of the country, because let's be honest, it's still North America.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Any country that they've done that, it's all civil wars have broken out every single time. Do we really need that?
Of course not.
And they're a lot more brutal than some of these folks are. You really don't need that.
I feel like they're just digging tunnels.
Yeah.
They've been digging tunnels.
They already
got out of jail.
The cartel.
I'm telling you right now, it's violent over here.
You can't go over it. Let's go under it.
Exactly.
I'm going to quote my man from Jurassic Park. I'm going to quote Jeff Goldblum. Life. We'll find a way.
I'm telling you, like, it's life or death. It's life or death for people crossing the border. Oh, they wouldn't do it otherwise.
Also, that's really going to cut down on the type of women that I appreciate. I really do love South American women. And, you know, it's kind of, I don't want the border there.
That's going to hinder me.
Completing shutting down like 30% of my game. And I got like, well, you know what about that border,
That's too funny.
That's right. I mean, because the biggest thing I think they're talking about right now is not letting in Syrian refugees because they think they're going to be terrorists in there. But my whole thing is, like, there are much easier ways to get into the country than becoming and then trying to head in with the Syrian refugees who got to go through almost a 2-year process to become citizens before they can be here legally. They dare to go get a student visa. They go to Canada and just hop over and just, you know, and just cruise over.
Is it easier for women and children to get over?
They still got to go through the same process. They still get put. They still get put in the designated holding area, wherever it is, in that place where they're comfortable to get and take that. And before they become U.S. citizens, is what they're really concerned about, is terrorists becoming U.S. citizens. So
I feel like we already have terrorists as U.S. citizens.
Yeah. But, and that's what I'm trying to say. So, like, letting Syrian, letting Syrian refugees in right now is less concerning to me because they still got to go through almost a 2-year process to become citizens. Than actually getting, you know, a kid who got a student visa, somebody's on a work visa, somebody who's coming through, you know. There's much easier ways as a terrorist to come into the country, become a citizen, or be protected under the rights as a U.S. citizen than coming as a refugee. So
and that God whole forbid theory, they add more culture to the country.
You know?
People are like, oh, did you try that new Syrian recipe?
Oh, yeah, I'm not answering that.
You know we can hear that, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
All right, so one of the questions I got into earlier this week with Shan Loke was the definition of racism. Oh. Now, we've all experienced different things in life, and we all basically have our own definition of what we think it is. There's like a Webster's Dictionary version of it.
Well, like one race being superior over another, right? In any way, shape, or form. In a sense, like basically degrading another race. I guess another one. I mean,
yeah.
People throw that word around like a lot. If you just even like say... If you even just discriminate, and just discriminate means to recognize or perceive a difference, that's all the discrimination means. Oh, okay, well, you're white and I'm black. That's racist. No, it's not. You're white, I'm black. That's not racist. That racist is, oh, well, I'm better than you because, you know, blacks are considered more powerful and we're stronger than people. And I'm just better than you because I know I can run faster, I can jump higher. Yeah, you're black. You know. No, I mean, you pull what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that's like.
But I wouldn't call that racism, though. I call it prejudice. maybe biased, but not racist, because racism is, there's an inherent aggression of racism. Like, you can't, you can say, like, oh, I'm black and you're white, so I'm better, but it's not going to take anything from you.
Right.
Like, nothing's going to change. That, like, all right, you just don't like me. But if you can take something away, or if there's an inherent aggression, then that's racism.
Yeah. My personal opinion on it, and I saw this on a Facebook post also, and it made me think about it. Like, I don't think the word really describes the action. Like, realistically, because, like, for you to be a pianist or something like that, or you're a racist, but you're a pianist, that means that you've made it to the top tier of what you can do as far as playing the piano.
Right.
Violinist, you made it to the top tier of what you can do to play the violin. Racist, maybe that just, I mean, to me, it just means, okay, I have appreciation for who I am. I love my race very much. Doesn't mean that I hate somebody else's.
I can see where you're going with that.
But it also, wait a minute, also though, like, we're always going to have a hatred because we were one of the only countries that were built off of it.
Nah.
There's a lot of countries that were built off of it, but I mean, that's what makes our country.
I had a lot of disagreements.
Like, that makes our country. Like, unfortunately, a lot of my brothers are going to hate somebody. I'm going to hate somebody down the block. But that doesn't mean I can't interact with them.
We weren't the only ones with slaves. We weren't the only ones with racism. Like, I think, and a lot of countries are, and continents are, like, built off of caste systems and based on your color. Like, that happens, you know. We just happen to have a mixing and melding pot of a bunch of different cultures. That's unique to
America. We just love not to admit that we hate somebody.
Pause.
And then when somebody does.
Pause. Definition.
Well, I think there's an element of a feeling of superiority as a part of it, and then just by logical leap that the other race that you're being racist against is inferior. I think it's really the inferior, like, your belief that someone else is inferior and not equal is pretty central to it in the particular definition that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think that's pretty general. Like,
well, I'm part Jewish, so when I think of my grandparents talking about the Nazis, or on my dad's side, these were Estonian, talking about the Soviets, I feel like it was just, like, very fear-based. Like, they would have been, I think, after they were, I mean, my grandparents split from Estonia, and they fled, and they met up in Sweden. My dad grew up in Sweden before he came to the U.S. around 9 or 10, something like that. But I think they always kind of held on to their view of, you know, but I feel like it was fear-based, not necessarily out of superiority or inferiority. I feel like that's a big part of it.
I feel like something tragic had to have happened to your race for it to build.
I don't know. A friend of mine and myself, we had a conversation about evolution, actually, as it relates to racism and whatever. In the thought that, you know, evolution happens and that we're not necessarily our prime selves or our optimum human race, whatever. So the way our brains work in my geek world. So we have, like, a primal brain, which is, like, you know, you eat, sleep, you have sex, you make waste, whatever, and you continue in life. That's all it is. And right now we have, like, a more modernized brain, so we can do a little bit more complex things. We can learn, we can retain things, but essentially, the way we learn is we categorize information, and we have these boxes, and basically all the information that we get on a regular basis, we put them in these different boxes. But if those boxes are just too large, so we can't necessarily individualize information that we have. So once we do encounter someone black or white or Hispanic or whatever, all that we can do naturally is put them in that box. Now, we can go back and consciously maybe, like, work that out and say, okay, well, this isn't true for this person just because, like, they're the same race or the same color or come from the same area, but subconsciously, because we still operate on more of a primal brain, that naturally we're going to think that that person's bad because they're black, and then we'd have to go in and process it, no, they're not, because this, that, and the third thing, but naturally that's what happens first, because we're just not at that stage of evolution yet. But anyway, but I digress. But back to your point about racism and pianists or whatever, like the
pianists.
I think these are examples just so people can say words.
I
think that's why you did it, bro.
This guy gets it.
So Mr. Marcus likes his penis.
Exactly. No, that's it. I'm realistically,
No, but to your point of saying that, but like I don't think that necessarily aligns the way that it sounds like it would, because like the root of pianist isn't pianism. The root of racist is racism. Yeah. And ism is hate. Like, that's exactly what it means. Like, it's the, you know, adjective hate. So that, I don't think that necessarily adds up the way that, you know, that analogy says.
Which, you know what I've always thought to myself?
I agree with ism being hate.
That is what it means. Any ism is
that's what I'm saying. Like
racism, sexism, ageism. Those are
just negative connotations added to ism. Ism is just a descriptor of whatever comes before.
What I'm saying for that particular subset of words, whatever. So like racism, ageism, sexism. Like those are all derogatory.
I don't think if you're sexist, you hate the opposite sex. I just think if you're racist or sexist, you just discriminate. No matter what level of discrimination it is, based on whatever that first word is. So based on race.
And what makes it that
is I feel whatever feeling I have based on the color of your skin, that's racism. So like if I feel like I'm better than you, I don't have to hate you. I don't have to hate you to feel like I'm better than you. But I feel like I'm better than you just because you're a different skin color.
But we're talking about the word, though, and that's what makes it the negative connotation.
I don't think that does.
My only thing. This is the only thing.
I can't get at that.
Even whenever we were down in Virginia, like, because like I said before, I've got Hispanic folks, I've got black folks, I've got white folks in my family. Like, actually, first cousins, second cousins, however you want to break it down, I was never brought up to really care too much until I got here. Until I got to the city of Pittsburgh, I never encountered it. Even down in Virginia,
yeah.
I never encountered it.
And I don't think it's a natural possibility. I don't think it's a, you know, part of our DNA or anything. It is a part of our culture and society. But like I said, like other countries, other cultures have racism just as much as we do. Other places have caste systems, and that just kind of is how it is. And that's why I was talking about more so evolution. I think that's just the way that we process things more so than, you know, we're inherently trying to hate other people. I think it's based on fear.
I think it is slightly part of our DNA. Just how you're saying, like, it's like a biological thing. I think we're drawn towards people that look like us.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Naturally.
Yeah.
But see, do you have to think in your mind that you are inferior?
You can be drawn to someone, but
do you think like minutely that you are?
You have to learn that.
That you are inferior to somebody.
Yeah,
I think it just changes into that. Like, I think the survival thing is separate from that, which is kind of what your argument is.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, it's like a survival thing.
For me to think that if I, on a daily basis, like, I think that a certain white individual is being racist, I have to assume that they're doing something that I'm not for them to hate me for. Mm-hmm. For me not doing this. For me not... You know, like, I don't...
Yeah.
Like, for... I have to think to myself, like, okay, that guy's doing better off than I am. Like...
So you have to have the mindset for it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's what
everything
is. But I'm saying on both ends, though. I'm saying on both ends. For the person who is who you would think is being racist and the person that you think is being discriminated against.
What? I don't think I understand.
Like, I wouldn't think somebody was being racist or that they hated me unless I thought deep down, like I wouldn't think that they were being racist unless I thought, like, okay, he hates me for this, or they hate me because of this.
You don't think they're being racist until you feel the racism.
They're being racist, yes.
Unless they actually are being racist.
But we all have different definitions.
The whole thing about racism being something that we're born with. Like, I can gel with.
We're not born with racism.
Well, no,
we're born with
hate or anything. What I'm
two separate things.
What I'm thinking, right. it's racism is a human construct. Anything that's constructed by humans can be broken down by humans.
Absolutely.
So to say that we're to be born categorizing things, we do that. So we don't have to process unless our prefrontal cortex, or, you know, we wouldn't be able to think about anything else. So we do categorize things. But the same way I can categorize a grape and an orange doesn't mean I hate a grape or an orange.
Right.
But, you know, it's just like, and to think that, and I want clarification, or I got to make sure that I make sure this is clear, that attach an ism to anything, I don't see how that makes that negative.
And we're talking about grammar, though. Like, that's what it is. That makes it taught us that in social work.
I get you.
Racism, sexism, ageism, like all those
but
things.
But Buddhism, Judaism?
No. those things. But those are like people or whatever. Or you're talking about fucking religion and stuff. These are like social.
Socialism?
So we're going to let that one rest.
Communism, the moderator.
We're going to let that one rest.
But equally with the president, he's probably the worst president in the history of our country.
Oh, man. Oh, man, oh, man. Not again. I learned to lead from Mandela. You could never check me. Back to back like my terms in office, they couldn't get me. Back to back like two duelers, it's about to take 10 paces. Back to back like Trump's divorces, I said it, now face it, oh. All thinks he's important because of his riches. So when I look back, I might be mad that I gave this attention. But it's weighing heavy on my conscience. And now here comes the man straight out of washed. I'm convinced that this man is just straight insane. I should've let you the vision hold short or paid. You gon' make me buy bottles for John McCain. You gon' make me go buy you a new toupee. I heard there's a price tag on your back. I'd be more concerned where El Chapo's at. I'm not sure what it was that really made you mad. But you can't diss Mexicans and try to take that back. I mean, whoa. Can't fool my country, man, they know us something. I wrote these bars while Michelle gave me a shoulder rub. You'll make America better. I laugh so hard I'm crying. Oh my God, why you always lying? See, Trump's the type of dude that mocks the world's poor. But is the world poor or your soul poor? I know that you're trying to get known more, but this is the nonsense you got fired from The Apprentice for. Check it. Right-wingers turn to slur-slingers. Yeah, you're getting bodied by a left-winger. I'm not the kind of dude that's gonna be kind to do. And shouts to Clinton, she's about to trump you. Make sure you ask him, what are those? Then tell that man to hit the road. He'll tell another one, and then another one. The DJ Khaled of lies, here comes another one. I had two terms, they went back to back. Yeah, they went back to back. They'll ask if I can run again, back to back. Yeah, they want it back to back. I don't want to hear about this ever again. Not even in the end when he don't even win. Not even when you tell me, Mama, tell him again. He'll say anything for press, but he hates Fox and Friends. Oh, his bias needs to stop. He don't see the whole picture, call him petty wop. Winter's coming and your campaign's flying south. It's time to stop talking, you should watch your mouth. Please, the GOP hate you, they're like G-O, play. His tan is orange, just in time for Halloween, play. But orange ain't the new black, you're not me, play. He gon' fall off like his wig in the braids. Somebody stop me. Been watching Narcos, I'm feeling cocky. I'm probably going too hard, you're feeling trapped. I'ma give you a break from these bars. Kit Kat, I had two terms, they went back to back. Bars, yeah, they went back to back. They're gonna ask if I can run again, back to back. You took shots at me, now it's tit for tat. Got him, got him, got him, got him, got him, got him, got him.
But listen, I'm just happy to be here, and happy to shake your hand.
You getting this? Come on, you gotta film this. I used to look like you.
Shout to BP Biden, yo, that dude's nice. My wife Michelle, that's that chick that I like.
Team 6 showed up in choppers, it was so cash. Lit his house with red dots like it had a rash.
You messing up the lowercase and capitals, girl. House 7 letters take you 20 minutes, girl.
We just need a jump.
What the hell's your name?
Barney.
Your face looks familiar.
Have you been to the post office recently?
Blow me.